On today's Technobabble, setting up a presentation computer.
This is Technobabble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, and welcome again to another episode of Technobabble. This is the show where every week I help you use video and graphic design in the church. My name is Paul Allen Clifford. I'm your host. I'd love for you to join the conversation, by the way, so just leave your comment below the video. If you're listening to the audio alone, no problem. Just hit me up on Twitter, Paul Allen Cliff. That's PaulAlanCliff. So, I've been recently going through a few lessons learned as I'm freelancing, kind of refreshers, things that I'd always done, but maybe I hadn't actually recorded a video for you or recorded some audio for you about how to do them. Well, one of them that I see a lot that's a huge mistake is when people have a presentation computer and they don't set it up properly. So, let's talk a little bit about that. First off, let's start at the very beginning. When you're choosing a presentation computer, I don't want you to choose the cheapest computer you can. This needs to be pretty beefy. I would say in order of the most powerful computers in the church, probably your most powerful computer is going to be the one used for live streaming, then the one used for video editing, and then the one used for presentation. If you're in a situation where you have to combine those into fewer than three machines, then do not combine live streaming and presentation. Because live streaming is so processor intensive as I'm recording this, that sure, if you're doing SD, that's not going to be as much of a problem. But the moment you dip your toe into HD, or full HD, or even 4K, it's just going to get more and more processor intensive, graphics card intensive. You're just going to need a better machine. So do that. Now, I know that the temptation is to get the pastor the best computer, but most of the time the pastor doesn't need the best computer. The pastor needs a computer that's good for surfing, good for writing, good for media consumption, things like that. Well, for a presentation computer, you're going to want a beefier computer. Because what you want is you don't want the minimum specs. You want to get a little farther into the than just the minimum specs. Because chances are, as long as you'll have that at your church, there will be an upgrade that you'll want to do. And you don't want to go, oh, my computer just barely could use the last version of this software. Now I can't upgrade without buying a new computer. Whereas a slightly better computer would have been a little bit more money. A whole new one is a whole set of that money, right? So if you had a $700 computer, for example, and instead you had bought a $1,000 computer, that's $300 difference. But in a few years, when you go to replace the computer, it's probably going to be $500 or $600. So you see how you could have made it last another year or two for just a little bit more money. So just keep that in mind. Consider it as you're doing this. Don't go with the bare bargain basement computer, the one that's on clearance the day after Thanksgiving if you're in the U.S. You really want something a little bit better. I am a Mac guy. I'm not going to make any bones about that. There are some structural issues that they addressed in the kernel of the operating system in Mac that makes it a little bit better for audio and video. Now, it's not necessarily the case that you can't do it with the Linux box, you can't do it with a PC. That's not true at all. I just think that from a reliability standpoint and a total cost of ownership standpoint, you're not going to regret a Mac. Now, they're very much on par these days in a lot of ways, but I just haven't regretted one, and I wasn't always a Mac guy. So that's just an aside. I'm sure we're going to have a big old flame war about that. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that, to quote Forrest Gump. So let's talk about once you have this computer, you haven't cheaped out on the machine, you've got the appropriate one for what you want to do. So the question is, how do you set it up? First thing you're going to want to do, get rid of everything you don't need on that bad boy. I'm talking, you don't need Excel, make sure it's not on there. You don't need the bloatware that comes on a PC, make sure it's not on there. You don't need 5 different web browsers, just use one and go from there. If you have to have antivirus, make sure you have one type, not 2, not 12, one. Just make it as lightweight as possible. Also, keep it cleaned off. Ideally, you would want a drive that had the OS on it, the operating system, like Windows or OS 10 for a Macintosh, and then you would want your data on a separate drive. There's a couple of good reasons for that. First off, these days you'd probably want a solid-state drive for the OS partition, but spinning drives are a lot cheaper for large amounts of data, so you'd want an external or a second drive to store your data. Secondly, if something goes wrong with your main partition, your OS, you can just replace that and you haven't lost any of your media. If something goes wrong with your media drive, you should be able to boot up and start your computer, and then you know, oh, this drive is missing. Hopefully you've got it backed up somewhere else, but that's something I want to encourage you to do, and that is have separate drives or at least separate partitions whenever it's possible to do so. Next, let's talk about power management settings. How long does your service go for? 30 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours? Doesn't matter. I'm not judging. What I'm talking about, though, is you do not set your screensaver to come on in less than the duration of the service. So here's what I mean by this. So let's say your pastor has a long spot between sermon points, 10 minutes. But you've set the screensaver to come up after 5. That's a problem because you move your hand away from the mouse, you're stretching, you're relaxing, you're leaning back, you're thinking, okay, I can relax. And just then, boom, your screensaver comes on. Or worse, your computer screen goes completely black. Problem. No, you don't want that to happen. So make sure you set the screensaver to only come on after, I usually think it's a good for the duration of your service. So if you haven't touched the mouse from the time the service starts to the service ends, then it should come on shortly after the service ends. If you've touched the mouse and done stuff with it all throughout service and then it ends, then in an hour or two it's going to go to the screensaver. That's not horrible. It's not the worst thing in the world. So do that. Next, for any secondary or tertiary, the third display, make sure you put a black background, black wallpaper on that. Here's why. If for some reason your worship software quits, you don't want it to show up some kind of craziness that you've put on as your wallpaper. Let's say you put a picture of the soundboard, or you've put a picture of your kids. You don't want that to flash up on the screen if your worship software quits. Now, happily, that doesn't happen all the time, But as a bare minimum, I think I'd go for a black background. You could also do your church's logo or something where it looks like you meant to do that. So you could put that up on the screen as well, and then when the worship software starts back up, immediately go to the logo and then transition from the logo back into what you were supposed to be doing. So that's something else that I'd recommend that you do. From a sound perspective, make sure that you have the best sound out of your worship computer that you can. So, but you need to have that interface with the soundboard. So you might need to come out with a like a mini plug and take that into a direct box and have that go via XLR to the soundboard. Or it could be that you're close enough that you don't. You can just go line level into the soundboard. But you need to keep that in mind, that you want good sound. You don't want a buzz, you don't want a hum, etc. Next, make sure that you know the best connection you can use from a video standpoint out of your worship computer. I am not a big fan of HDMI. Why? Well, there's a couple of reasons. First off, HDMI, by its spec, they've recently changed this on the website, but I don't think they actually changed the spec. I think they just reworded it. They said on HDMI.org, for years, by the way, that HDMI had a the capability of running up to 10 meters. 10 meters. Now, if you're an American like me, that's about 33 feet. If you're from somewhere else, you know that how long 10 meters is. That's not very far at all. Chances are, it's probably 2 or 3 meters up to the ceiling from the position of the computer, another 2 or 3 meters from the ceiling to the projector, so we're talking 4 to 6 meters of your 10. So now you can run that cable another 3 or 4 meters, maybe 6 if you're lucky. That's not a lot of room to work with. Now you can get a Balun, which sends the signal over Cat5. You can transcode that to SDI and send it over coax. That's another good way to do it. But HDMI just, it has some problems, especially with HDCP, high definition copy protection, which is not meant for your good. It's meant for the good of the movie industry. So it's problematic in a production environment. DVI is better. VGA, believe it or not, is still okay under some circumstances. So just hook up the best output you can and use that, and try and keep your HDMI runs to a bare minimum if you can. DisplayPort, by the way, and Mini DisplayPort are both good standards as well. So those are just some of the things that I would set up as I was setting up a new computer. I'd make sure, if you were using something like my personal favorite, ProPresenter, that you had a third video output. If it's a desktop computer, you'd do that with a video card. If it's a laptop or a Mac Mini, for example, you would do that perhaps with a USB output, and I've got one that works perfectly well. But I just really want you to plan this ahead, get a good enough machine for some space to grow, and make sure you change the settings so that they're appropriate for a live production environment. Well, I hope that helped you. I hope that that answered some questions and enabled you to get where you need to go with your live production. If you like this content, you'll probably like my email newsletter. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S, and there you can pick up some free Church Tech gifts along with a free subscription to my email newsletter, where I give you more tips and tricks and tell you a little bit about what's happening here at TrinityDigitalMedia.com. And if you like that, you'd probably like my store too. So head over to TrinityDigitalMedia.com/store, and there you have some resources that I've created with you in mind to save you time, get you better at church tech ministry, and make it so that you can spend some more time with your family and doing what you were really made to do. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Go out and change eternity.